You know, this week, the message is going to kind of be out of Mark chapter 6. So if you want to look there, but I'm going to be bouncing around. I want to first read a scripture from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. Now I know Habakkuk's a hard book to find. If y'all been practicing the song, you should be able to get there eventually. It's only like three chapters long, about 2.5 pages, not even 2.5. But in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, the scripture says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And I want you to carry this idea of what is God's purpose really for your life. You know, we hear all kinds of things these days, don't we, about what God really wants for your life. And we're going to talk about some of that, because I heard something this week on the radio that troubled me, and it was from a conservative radio station. And we'll talk about it as I get to the end. But I was, you know, as I was studying this week, I read Mark chapter 6 about John the Baptist. And I'm like, God, what was, you know, you look at a life that looked like it was cut so short that he didn't even get 3 years of ministry, and he only got maybe a year and a half, and then it was cut short. And you got to wonder, you know, why not? John the Baptist was one of the greatest preachers that ever existed, and he only lasted about a year and a half. I don't know if you've ever considered that as you read through the scriptures, or maybe you heard that story, but to this week I was trying to figure out, well, God, what do you want me to do with this story? I don't know what to say. And then I was listening to that radio, and I'm like, I know what to say now. God gave me the message as I was listening to something that I didn't particularly agree with. How about that? But anyway, pray with me this morning. Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you would just touch us this morning, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit and allow us to be groomed by your Spirit, that if there's pieces on us that need to be removed, Lord, that we would allow you to remove those, that you would just conform us to your image and help us to understand your word and to be able to apply it to our life, especially during these times that there seems to be such a message being presented from those who call themselves your people and your churches, that they're not preaching the gospel the way that you presented it. They give a different gospel. And Lord, we need a people that hold the authority of your word, and that they realize that their purpose on this earth is to glorify the Father in heaven, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Would you help us this morning? I pray that you would help me to be able to give your message to your people, that they'd be able to take these thoughts away with them and apply it to their life and glorify you with their life. And I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Habakkuk here, we see that he says, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord." Have you ever wondered, well, how is that going to happen? Well, Jesus gave the ingredients for it. It's you guys. If you're a born-again believer, you are the catalyst for it. You are the ingredient to be able to show the glory of the Lord to this world. Is it you by yourself? No. It's God working through you. But you've got to get God's picture in your mind of, what am I supposed to do? Why am I here? What is the purpose for me? Your purpose is to glorify your Father who's in heaven. That's your purpose. If you think it's about making money, you can't take that with you when you die. So it can't be about making money. Can't it be about raising a good family? When you get to heaven, there's nobody going to be standing with you. You're going to be there by yourself. And the question is going to come down, what did you do for God? Now, what are we supposed to do? Yes, our children, we're supposed to glorify the Father with our children. We're supposed to glorify the Father with our resources, with whatever tools that God has given to us. We are supposed to glorify Him. And you got to wonder, well, why? Some people may wonder, why should we glorify? You know, is that really what's going on? Let me give you some thoughts just for a second. In Deuteronomy 33 and verse 3, it says, "Yea, He loved the people. All His saints are in Thy hand, and they sat down at Thy feet. Everyone shall receive of Thy words." You see, we should glorify Him because He prefers us. He likes us. He loves us. You know, part of that phrase that I heard was that God loves you. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, does God love everybody the same? Honestly, He does not. You know why? Because if you're His, He loves you so much more. Does God love the world? Yes. He loved the world. He sent His only begotten Son into the world. But you, if you're a believer, you're different. You're His. He loves you much more than you can ever even imagine. He loves the world enough to give them an opportunity to repent, to become His children, to be adopted. The Apostle Paul would say it like this, that we call Him Abba, Father, Daddy. The world just knows Him as God. They may believe in Him, but they're not His daddy, or He's not their daddy. You see it. I don't know how much the church loves me. Apparently, y'all love me a lot because we're gonna have an ice cream and cookie service this afternoon, and that's pretty good evidence of love, right? But there's only a few here that call me daddy. And God wants to be your daddy. And none of y'all have seen me love you like I've loved my children. You see, God gives us some examples of how love is supposed to be portrayed in this world. Because He has given us fathers. Now, there's some fathers out there, I get it. They're not very good fathers. But when you find one that really loves his children, you see a father that does whatever he can to reach them, to love them. He didn't mind changing their diapers. He might not enjoy it, but he'll do it because they need it. You know, whenever they fall down on the ground, you know, he tries, especially his sons, he tries to help them understand how to be men. And he was like, you know, come here, son, and I'll help you up. You know, he might say some things like that because he wants to learn them. He wants them to learn, yeah, I care about you, but I want you to understand how to be strong. There's an old country song that says that daddy's hand wasn't always gentle, but I come to understand that there was always love in daddy's hands. Y'all remember that old song, don't you? I know it might not be a good gospel song, but it does illustrate something about how God operates with His people. He loves His people more than He does the rest of the world. Why should we glorify Him? Because He loves us that much. He prefers us. John chapter 10 and 14, Jesus would say, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." Now, I don't know if that means anything to you, but He also gave another story one time too, where there's going to be those who will appear before the judgment, and they will say, "But Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these wonderful things in Your name and for Your honor?" And He's going to look at them and He's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You weren't my sheep." But there's going to be some of these that they just did the best they could with what God gave them. And He says, "I know my sheep. I know them. I love them. I've watched them. I've taken care of them. He knows his sheep. There's another scripture. I don't know the reference, but it's probably on the slide. But it says that precious, that you're precious in his eyes, even unto death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of who? His saints. You will not find this scripture saying precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the wicked. You won't find that verse. Because it doesn't exist. Because who's precious in God's sight? His saints. His sheep. He prefers his people. He does love you. I just want you to understand that today. God loves you with an everlasting love. More than he does the rest of the world. Does he love them? He loves them enough to send them away to become his children. If they reject that path, if they reject the way, the truth, and the life, he will tell them, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity, I never knew you, you are of your father, the devil. You see, they have a father, it's the devil. But our father is God, in whom we could do like Paul and say, Daddy, he loves us. He prefers us. Now you may wonder, well, what does that have to do with anything? If you call him Daddy, don't you want to glorify him? Don't you want to lift him up? Don't you want the whole world to see? That's who I belong to. That's who I represent. Now you may wonder, Brother Mitch, you know, that's all fine and good, but I just don't understand what you mean. How do I glorify God? How do I do that? The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What is that telling us? Glorify God with your body. Now, some of you might not understand what that means. That means that everything that you see should honor God. If it doesn't, you're not glorifying God with your body. You need to glorify God with your body. Let me give you another verse that'll help you understand that a little bit more. Look in Romans. Romans chapter 11. Verse 33. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. I'm going to read a few verses here. It says, oh, the depth of the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom glory forever. Amen. You know what comes after this? Just in case you want to know, our translators put chapter 12 in it. The next thing after that says, to whom be glory forever. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does it mean to glorify God with your body? Be ye holy, because he is holy. This body is the temple of Almighty God. It is supposed to represent Almighty God in this world. You glorify God with your body. You don't do anything with it that would defile him. You don't want to do that. You want to glorify him with your body because it is the temple of Almighty God. And what does it say in verse 12 and verse 1? That is your reasonable service. See, it's not unreasonable. It makes sense. That if I'm going to glorify my Father with my body, I'm going to represent Him. I'm not going to do things with it that would make Him look bad. That means I don't go to places that I shouldn't go. I don't allow my eyes to look at things I shouldn't look at. I don't take into anything those things that would make it unholy, things that would make me have impure thoughts. I glorify Him with my body. The next thing, with your labors. You glorify Him with your labors. 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever it is that you do with your hands, the substance that you create, you glorify God with those things. Whether you're eating, whether you're doing, whatever. You glorify God with your labors. John chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." So what does that say? How is the Father glorified? That you bear much fruit. What does that mean? That means that this life is not about me. It's not about me. It's about Him. Everything that I am doing is pointing to Him. When I was in the military, you think, well, that, you know, you're serving the country. Yeah, I'm serving the country. But it was a means to an end, because with that service of the military, I was honoring God with it. You're like, well, how do you do that? Hey, there is not one. That is one of the greatest mission fields that the United States has, the U.S. military. Whatever branch, pick a branch. They all need God-fearing men in it. And I got to witness to so many people from all over the United States. Now, I don't know how all those witnesses turned out, but you know, God gave me opportunity after opportunity, and He taught me things about myself, made me understand why I believe what I believe, sent me 5 years to the mission field in Utah. If you don't think that's a mission field, you should go there. God wants you to represent Him by bearing much fruit. That means serve Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength. You just give it. Everything that you do, you're looking for an opportunity to serve Him, to do for Him, because you want to glorify your Father who's in heaven. That's your purpose, to glorify Him. First with your body, then with your labors, then with your life. 1 Peter 4:16. Brother Comer was talking about it. It's amazing how Brother Comer always gives good introductions to the messages. It's amazing. We don't talk about it. He just does it. 1 Peter 4:16. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." If you have to suffer for the cause of Christ, glorify God with that suffering. Brother Comer was talking about Paul. How much Paul had to go through. You know, God actually told Paul, "Paul, you're going to have to go through things. I'm going to show you how many things you must suffer for my name's sake." Well, that starts getting us to what John the Baptist was dealing with, what he was going through. Does that make sense? With your life. John 21 and 19, it says, "This spake he," this is Jesus speaking, "to Peter," he says, "and he signified by what death he should glorify God." You know, we don't think along those lines. That with my death, God, are you telling me that I should die for your cause? What he would say is, "Mitch, I'm not telling you that you need to die for my cause. I'm telling you to live for my cause. And if it results in death, precious is the death of my saint in my eyes." Yeah, you get promoted, Mitch. glorify me with your whole life and it ends in death, so be it. You're okay with that. This is what I heard on the radio. God loves you and He's got a wonderful plan for your life. And that bothered me. You know why it bothered me? Because I just read about John the Baptist. And I knew about Peter. And the first question is, God, did you not love John? In his prime, you took him from his prime. When he's out there in the desert and throngs of people are coming to him and he's saying, repent, repent. And they were repenting, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. And they were bringing it. John, I want to change my life. And he would say, be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then he would say, you see that man over there? His name is Jesus. Follow that man. He must increase. I must decrease. And he's in the prime of his life. The prime of his preaching, throngs of people are coming, and then all of a sudden, he steps on somebody's toes, and he ends up in jail. And King Herod is there. He's already doing some things that he shouldn't be doing. Living with his brother's wife, lusting after his niece, and he promises her, I'll give you anything. And she says, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. And he can't take his promise back. And he delivers John the Baptist, barely 32, maybe 33, maybe 33, delivers John the Baptist's head on a platter. 33 years old, he's done, his ministry is over. And I'm like, God, did you love John? God loved John. He really loved John. We talked about love. He prefers his saints. He knows them. You think John was alone? He was never alone. But then I started wondering, God, what about the wonderful life? God has not promised you a wonderful life. He's promised you a wonderful eternity. If He's promised you anything, it's a wonder-filled life. Because if you serve God, you will see His wonders. You will see the miraculous. If you really will serve Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will honor Him with your body, and you will glorify Him with your labors, and you will glorify Him with your life unto death. You see, God loves you, but it's not about you. It's about Him. It's about God. That's why we're here, to glorify our Father who is in heaven. That's why Jesus would say, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name is holy. And He says, if you take on my name, I want you to represent me as holy. You know, if you're going to say I'm a Christian, you need to glorify God with your body, with your labors, with your life. Otherwise, pardon some bad English, you ain't Christian. You're something else. Honor Him. Glorify Him. That is your reasonable service. Does God love you? He absolutely loves you. And He really, 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 really loves His sheep. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows the hairs, how many hairs on your head. Some of you, He knows how many hairs you've lost off your head. He loves you. Does He have a wonderful plan for your life? He's got a wonder-filled plan for your life. But your definition of wonderful might not be what it fits. And you should be okay with that, because it's not my wonderful life that I want. I want to glorify my Father in heaven because He's done something for me. He has saved my soul. He sent His only begotten Son to die for my sins. He has taken my sins. He's thrown them as far as the east is from the west. He's washed me with His red blood and made me white as snow, so that when I die, I go to heaven. And He knows me. He'll be like Stephen. Remember Stephen, he's being stoned and he looks up as the stones are about to fly and he says, I see Jesus standing on the Father's right hand. Hey, the Scripture tells us that Stephen, that when Jesus ended His mission here, He sat down at the right hand of God. But when Stephen was about to be stoned, when he was about to be killed for the cause of Christ, Jesus stood up and He said, Stephen, welcome home. He loves Stephen. Welcome home, Stephen. I know you. It didn't end with John the Baptist. That last verse we read, Peter. He told Peter, signifying what death he should glorify God. Do you realize that Peter was hung upside down on a cross? Peter glorified God with his body, with his labors, with his life, even unto death. And it's not just Peter. Paul. How many things Paul suffered? How many times can one man be stoned and still live? As many times as God wants. But did that deter Paul? Never. He would get up and he would go again. He would knock the dust off of his shoes and go to the next city and say the same thing that he said in this one that they just tried to kill him. And he'd say, you must repent of your sins. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the only way. Do you know Him? Do you know the way? He glorified God with His whole being, with His whole self. Paul will eventually get his head cut off like John the Baptist. Paul glorify God with several attempts on his life. Makes me think of Elijah. Elijah, the one who glorified God with his prayer life, tried to bring a revival to Israel, called down, prayed, and fire came down in heaven. I mean, God answered his prayer with fire. And he glorified God. And they came, and Jezebel sent the whole army of Israel looking for Elijah to kill him. Elijah glorified God with everything that he had. Was his life wonderful? He spent his whole life on the run for his life because somebody wanted to kill him. You know, here's the truth. If you're going to glorify God with your life, the devil wants to kill you too. You are not exempt. What does the Scripture tell us? That he wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy the family. Because he does not want you glorifying your Father who's in heaven. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to say, oh, well, God, this is not what I signed up for. I thought whenever I said that prayer that you were going to take all my problems away. He never says that. What he does is he gives you grace to get through those problems. You know, I'm sorry if you came here wanting a prosperity gospel this morning. I can't find it in the Bible. What I find is time after time after time, the Cains kill the Abels. Over and over and over. And we have a gospel that's being preached through our land that says God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. And He wants you to have a wonderful life. And that sounds good. It just ain't true. God loves His people. And God does not promise you this super official, wonderful life. Because I start thinking about Austin back there. The Austin that's living in my house. 5 years old. he has not had a wonderful life. Everything, he just hasn't. And when the outside world looks at that type of gospel and they say, well, something's not right, it contradicts, they're right. Why do I want to believe in something that's a lie? I agree with them. The thing is that even Austin, if he would accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, God will use his life to glorify the Father in heaven. And that can win so many people. You know, he's having you go through things. Why would he have you go through things? So that you could be a witness and a testimony to others. Because God realizes something in this world. This world is mean. This world hates you. This world wants to destroy you. The reason is because it is of the devil. The prince of this world hates you, hates everybody, wants to kill them, wants to destroy them, wants to make them miserable. What does God want? He wants you to glorify Him so that you can reach those people with the glory that you've honored God with. Because they're not going to understand, well, I thought I was going to get a wonderful life. What you get is a wonder-filled life if you would serve God, if you would honor Him, if you would glorify Him. Does that mean that you're going to have to go through traumatic things in your life? You may not. But if you really want to glorify God, you can expect it. Because Satan is going to send his armies after you. He doesn't want you to excel. He doesn't want you to do great. And you know, we have so many Christians or people that say, I started serving God, but then all of these obstacles come at me. And I thought I was going to be able to get away from that stuff. And they weren't told. They weren't told that the enemy is coming after you. He wants to bring you down. He does not want you to glorify your Father in heaven. He does not want you to be an example. He does not want you to be a witness. So he tries to get you down as soon as, before you could even get going good. And somebody told him, oh, you're going to have this wonderful, spectacular life. And that might not be so. Because it's going to be trying. We are going into a generation that does not know God. The Scripture even shows it in the book of Revelation that is a system operated under the beast system. And we need to be prepared just like John the Baptist was. Just like Jesus was. Just like the 11 disciples were. You know, there was only one that died a natural death. And he was boiled in oil. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. They realized when they couldn't kill him, like, well, we just got to get rid of this guy. Hey, these are our heroes in the Scripture. They glorified God. They didn't say, God, gimme, gimme, gimme. They said, God, I want to give you everything. You gave your son. You gave me forgiveness. I'm giving you everything else. And they served him with gladness. John the Baptist ministry. You know, we look at that story and it amazes us. It amazes me. He never quit. Paul never quit. Peter never quit. None of them ever quit. Even John. Even when he was exiled to the island of Patmos, he didn't quit. He wrote the book of Revelation while he was there. He kept going and going and going. And you know what that is? That is the results of a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-centered life where you honor Christ with everything. And you're not concerned about, what if I get killed? What if somebody makes fun of me? What if somebody doesn't like me? You're not worried about those things. I want to give you one more hero's information. Some of you may know him. His name is Polycarp. Anybody know that name, Polycarp? He was a second century saint. History tells us that he studied under the Apostle John. And this is what he says in the martyrdom of Polycarp. It is recorded as saying on the day of his death, 86 years have I served him. He's talking about God. And he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King and Savior? You threaten me with fire that burns for a season and after a little while is quenched. But you are ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. Polycarp was burned at the stake and pierced with a spear for refusing to burn incense to the Roman emperor. On his farewell, he said, I bless you, Father, for judging me worthy of this hour, so that the company of martyrs I may share the cup of Christ. You see, that's what this life is supposed to be about. That's what our purpose is. To drink the cup of Christ. When we have communion, we talk about that cup. The blood that was shed for the remission of sins. And when we take that cup, we are saying, God, I agree with your Son. I agree that whatever you have in my life, whatever you've planned for me, I am willing to accept that cup. Hey, maybe you will have a trouble-free life. You'll be the only Christian that I really know that's had that. Because the Christians that I know, they struggle with their families. They have many unbelieving family members. When they go to work, they feel like they're the only Christian there. I've been there. If they go into the ministry, they feel like I have no friends. You know, that's really what's going on in this world. And the reason is because this is not our home. We're just passing through. We're only here for a season. And that season is to glorify God with every ounce of strength that we can muster. Because the one who prefers us, we want to glorify Him with everything. That's our purpose. It's not about me. It's about Him. Everything is about Him. So how do I do it? With my body, with my labors, with my life. I glorify my Father who's in heaven. The song leader, the pianist would come, pray with me. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for the truth of the Scriptures. I want to thank you for the story of John the Baptist. You know, I realize this isn't one of those messages where you walk away feeling so great. But Lord, we need to understand something. That in our life, if we're going to be witnesses for the cause of Christ, we've got to glorify our Father who's in heaven. And we've got to get off of this thing about, it's about me. And we've got to say, it's about Him. It's about you. Not about me. And we live in a generation that seems to be stuck on themselves. And they don't honor you. Even when they say they're Christians, they don't honor you. They don't glorify you. And we need to teach correctly, Lord. We need to show the truth that all the heroes of the past, they glorified you all the way to their deaths. Lord, may we do the same. May the generation that comes behind us find us faithful. Faithful to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not give in to this world, not to say yes to the devil, but to say no to him and to continue to fight the good fight until the day Jesus Christ returns. God is Lord in this thought. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply it. Help us to speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.